you. I think that took 15 minutes. I'm sorry. That was so long. Anyway, today we'll be discussing a natural resource issue that's pretty much in conflict. And I think a lot of people have seen it and heard about it. And basically, it's the Southern Water Wars, which is Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. And basically, this has been a nightmare of technology. My computer's crashed. I had to redo this presentation. So, and I had a thumb drive issue that Julie helped me out on. So hopefully this will go pretty good. But I changed my title and I put it up, Whiskey is for Drinking, Water is for Fighting. And that was said, that was quoted by Mark Twain back in the late 1800s. And it is definitely true today. So my points of discussion today will be, first we'll talk about the current state of affairs, what's going on and what is happening in the states. Second of all, we'll be looking at Atlanta and whether Atlanta's to blame, what share of the blame should they harness, and how are things filtering through Atlanta. Third, we'll look at the failure of current government institutions and localities, and by that, I mean the failure of to incite any type of policy. As we get into the discussion, we'll kind of lay out what has happened in chronological order. And then finally, I want to discuss the new environmental conflict and how that is perceived as across boundaries now, and we'll get into discussing that. But first, we want to kind of look at where we're talking about. Which one did I push here? Laser? Well, it says a laser. Okay. So what we're looking at right now is we're looking at two basins here. And if we look up in here, the watershed pulls off of this area. And we're looking from right here is the Apalachicola, Chattahoochee, and Flint basin. Okay, we'll be discussing that. These are the two that are in dire conflict right now. And we will also be discussing the Alabama, Coosa, and Tallapoosa over on the central Alabama. And as we can see here on this map, we've got Atlanta right here in the middle, okay? So what's going on? What's causing this? Right now, Atlanta's been in a drought pretty much since March of 2006 and a little bit further than that. And if we look at in the orange area, here's Georgia right here, and here's the river basin on this side of western Georgia, and right in the middle of Alabama, we can see that they are below and much below normal levels of precipitation. So it's one of the leading factors that's going on, reason why we're having some water problems in that area. And here we can see our drought monitor. This is taken on March 18th, 2008. So it was just, basically last week. And if we see here, we're indicated what we're talking about, our areas we're going to be talking about today. They're in called a D3, D4, which is drought extreme. And they're still in drought extreme, even though we've had some water lately. So all your water is originating out of this area for these river basins. So that's what kind of where we're looking at. As we talk about the water wars and how it affects Alabama and how it affects Georgia and how it affects Florida, we're really concentrating on two reservoirs. One's Allatoona, which is off of 75. If you've ever driven down 75, you'll pass right by it, right before, about 60 miles outside Atlanta, next to Cartersville. And that is over in that area. And then we're also, a bigger one is the Lanier, Lake Lanier area. And this is Lake Lanier, and here's the watershed that comes through here. And so when we talk about endangered species, this watershed, and Lake Lanier especially, because that's the water supply coming through here, will be in the Apalachicolas, where we're talking about a lot of endangered mussels that Florida's worried about. So as we can see on the maps, kind of in here and in here, those are the drainage basins we'll be talking about. Current state of affairs. Looks like a trailer park, doesn't it? Those are actually Those are actually homes, and that's a picture from some homes on floating docks. What do we know? Well, right now we know that Georgia's in the midst of a historic drought starting in the spring of 2006. Now, they haven't been in this type of drought since probably 1950. We know that for sure. Water levels at Lake Allatoona are well below normal. And Allatoona is a little bit smaller impound, and it doesn't have as much information on it. And it deals more with the Alabama side. So it's been kind of left out of the loop, but it does affect all the water coming over into the Alabama and a lot of the areas over on the western part of Georgia. Lake Lanier, in mid-November, dropped to its lowest point since the reservoir was constructed in the 1950s. So that's the lowest point in mid-November. And the lake was about 11 feet below average, 11 feet, and that's a pretty significant amount. What else do we know? We know that the Chattahoochee River, which is the mainstay of Atlanta, which they receive all their water from, cannot sustain Atlanta's water's needs. So they have to, the Chattahoochee alone cannot. So Lake Lanier supplies the Chattahoochee River with the water. So there is a linkage there that we'll discuss. And then finally, the ESA is being violated by impounding water in Lanier, and that is in the ASC Basin, which basically says that by not providing an amount of flow from Lake Lanier into the Chattahoochee down the river basin, they're endangering mussels in the Apalachicola Basin. And also, the fisheries are very concerned about what's going on with the water level drops and the water not being released from Lanier. Actions. So this is going to be kind of a sequential actions that have been taken. And the process has been going on between the tri-states area and what has happened and what is in 2007. Well, November 1st, Secretary Kemp Thorne met with the governors from the tri-states to start talking about water sharing. Now, they've been talking about water sharing for 17 years, and they've had a lot of agreements kind of under the table, but nothing's really been firm in writing. Now, in December, meeting of the governors in Tallahassee, they met again to discuss water sharing. Nothing really came of it. We're still talking. So in 2008, what we do, the Georgia Water Policy Council deadline for sending the legislative proposed statewide water plan. So that dealt with Georgia, in which they were developing their own state water pound for water transfers within Georgia itself. So they started talking about, they were talking with the tri-states, then they decided to go ahead and make a plan for themselves. And on the 14th, it was convened and issues and passed, and it passed like 152-3, I do believe. So that was on the 14th of this year. From mid-January, staff from the tri-states were still meeting in Washington, hammer out water sharing agreements. And then on February 15th, they announced whether they negotiated settlement to their 17th year water war. Well, they missed this deadline, but at this point, Purdue, the governor of Georgia, feels like he can still get something going on with Alabama and Florida. Now, as we end up here, Northwest Georgia water officials to meet at Forum, and that's important, Northwest, because that's where the river basins are, where the water is coming through, and so they had another discussion on the Environmental Protection Division on restriction policies. And then on March 1st, Kemp Thorne says talks have failed. And then the feds, meaning the Corps, will develop their own solution for the three states to share water. So now it's in the Corps' hands. And also with Lake Lanier, it's also gonna be with Fish and Wildlife Service, because they are the endangered species they will be protecting. They will be giving information, working with the Corps engineers, on how much release water they need downstream in Apalachicola to protect the endangered species. And then on June 1st, There will be an interim agreement on flow levels to set to expire if no settlement is reached before then. So they still working on it. They've got some type of an agreement going, but as you can see, it's a long process, and they've been in negotiations for quite some time. Is the land to blame? Right now, as we can see, land is reaching 5 million in the 28 county area, okay? That's the population. And it's 3.8 million in 10 county area. We have 429,000 in the city of Atlanta. And then the population of Metro Atlanta is predicted to be more than 5.5 million in 2009. So it's going to be growing pretty much a half a million in about 3 years. The surrounding counties, we look at the surrounding counties that are on the north side of Atlanta that are using the water resources from Lanier and Allatoona. We look at Bartow, an increase of 20% from 2000 in population from 2000 to 2006. We look at Cherokee, 37.6. We look at Cobb County, 11.8, and that only reason there because they don't have any more land. DeKalb, same deal. They've already developed it all. And we look at Forsyth, which is up north, Atlanta, Georgia 400, and it's right above Fulton County. It's 53.4% growth rate, and it is on the border of Lake Lanier now. And then Gwinnett is up 28.7%. So these numbers are kind of indicative. If you look real quick, you can see where the population growth is 75% and up, and this is a estimated from 2015, and that's in that same area, Lake Lanier. And as we look at density, it's the same deal. So all your density is in the area of Allatoona and Lanier. So what's happening? Why are we having these water wars? Well, first of all, at the federal level, we have a failure. And we want to talk about the key output of an agency is regulation. And in this case, specifically, Lanier and the Endangered Species Act. Now, it's framed in a political environment that makes it more important to withstand legal attack than scientific scrutiny. So they understand the science. I understand that. But my point is here is that they have to supply water or they're going to be sued. And there's a bunch of suits out there right now. So the Corps right now is very much hesitant to do anything other than regulate. Okay, so that's what they're doing right now. Another reason over here is the government institutions are working within a framework of rules and deterrence model, meaning that more of a command and control type. They're working from that level. They're not working across boundaries. They're just working within their own separate issue. And a rule, they make a rule, and if you break it, they will fine you, they will do something else. Whereas we'll see in a second, some solutions, maybe more collaborative approach would be better. From a state level, policy is being guided by what is best for my state, okay, and not as what is best for the people and ecology of the water basin. So they're saying, what is best for my state? And by gosh, I'm going to do what's best for my state. I don't care what Alabama or Florida does, or vice versa. And the state, especially Georgia, views that resource as a captured resource. That's very important. And so their policy is made because they feel like their water is theirs. And when it gets down to Florida, you can have it. But they feel like that water in Lanier and the water in Allatoona is theirs. And another reason here, it's been going on for 17 years. Now at the local and county level, the local groups do not trust the federal state ability or capacity to solve these issues. They are really hesitant to do any work with anybody at federal level. And I talked to a friend of mine who works for a local NGO, and he says they don't trust Purdue. I'm not saying anything about Sonny Purdue, but they just don't trust working with him or any of his administration right now. And that can be said at the federal level, and that can be said at a lot of levels. And then at the locals, they have a sense of ownership of the river. They have a right, and that's very strong. That's their river. That's their water. They want to keep that water. That's a very strong sense of ownership. And they're not deserving. So if you're in Bartow County or Cartersville or Rome, Atlanta's not deserving of that water. So they're not gonna talk with you. They don't want to talk with you. They're saying Atlanta's growing out of hand and we're doing what we can do to conserve here, and they're not deserving in Atlanta. So they don't want them to have the water. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a new environmental conflict. And here are the characteristics of this conflict. One, it's starting to the conflict occurs across economic and political boundaries, meaning that it's not contained anymore, meaning that counties just can't solve this problem, meaning that the states just can't solve this problem. These problems are larger than any of us, almost. And it's just a really hard issues that are out there, especially with water, too, because it crosses numerous borders. And there are no set rules. We have no rules for this type of conflict. I mean, you name it. Who has a rule? How do you solve these problems? Federal doesn't have it. The states don't have it. A lot of the local municipalities don't have it. And there are the lack of effective institutions to deal with adaptive challenges. So we got changing conditions that are ongoing. So we don't have these institutions in place. They're not in place right now. We're working at them. Lots being done. But the effective institutions to deal with these adaptive challenges are not in place. And then, so to finish up, how do we begin to address these new challenges? And I say begin because, I mean, it's going to be hard to solve. And some of these may be solvable, some of them not. But we need to develop political leaders must move away from positions of power. So in Atlanta, you've got Georgia struggling, Alabama struggling, saying, I want this, and Florida saying, I want this. So they're coming from a position of power and not interest. We need to start focusing on interest rather than having power broker relationships. The civic and business leaders must develop networks that are willing to engage in solutions. So it's incumbent upon the people in the counties, in the separate counties in Georgia and Florida and Alabama, to build networks that will engage in these solutions. And then finally, we as natural resource leaders must integrate best science, know what's going on, and pair that with the collaborative problem-solving skills to help us begin to address these challenges. And I could talk about it 15 hours on this stuff, but I don't have the time. And my acknowledgments, Dr. Osmer, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Julie. You helped me out, you're a lifesaver. The Natural Resource Policy Center for making me be here, and everybody. So, anybody have any questions? I know that was quick, but yes.
As you were researching this, did you come across anything about mainly the infrastructure, the sewage system and all of that, probably old and outdated, and
there
was a lot of this water, because, you know, the stuff needs to be changed over, and if basically they upgrade on that, then they can conserve water better?
Well, there's some conservation efforts going on. The question was, Atlanta, I assume you're saying, are they dealing with the infrastructure problems? And what happened about 10 years ago, the sewer caved in. They had a big, huge sinkhole. I don't know if y'all saw that. So it is outdated. They're trying to do some efforts on some conservation or new sewage. Most of the newer developments do have underground sewage and that, but I didn't really get into that part of it, but I know from experience that they are upgrading on the new subdivisions, the new developments are pretty much modernizing. The problem you have is that people run their sprinkler systems during a drought, you know, and you know, they water their lawns, and even if they get fined, they don't work. Yeah. Yeah, and if you look at the city of Atlanta, it's really only less than a half a million people, which is kind of, you know, surprising to some people. So yeah, they are working as much as they can. They are. Anybody else? Yes.
Go ahead. Pasha. I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
For When you're talking about the sense of ownership, what is the real property right over the Lake Lanier or the Alatoona Lake?
Okay, property rights. The question was, what are the property rights in Lake Lanier or Lake Alatoona? Well, the Corps Engineers owns up to a certain level on that property, up to an elevation, certain elevation across the lake, and that is marked, absolutely marked, because I've went on my landscape background, I've done some landscaping in those areas, and we have to get permitted to even do any landscape below a certain level. So they do have they own from a certain elevation downward. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, because I'm just thinking about them, because of the property right is owned by the owner.
Right.
So they can claim like this is their water.
Right, exactly, right.
Second question is, have you been corporate about the tax differencing in tax in the locality into the chain of the population in the Atlanta area?
You're asking about the tax?
Yes.
The tax burden based upon?
Not the tax burden, but the tax rate.
Okay.
What I think is the county, Forsyth County, have the different tax rate compared to the Fulton County. So people who work in the Fulton going to move out for residential area.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, what's happened, your question is about the tax, about people moving from Fulton and moving out of Fulton County. Well, Fulton County is a very, very long county. And what has happened as they are moving north, and it is probably from the airport. If you go to the airport in Atlanta, you can drive 40 minutes due north and still be in Fulton County. So what has happened, the tax base, the city of Atlanta has suffered very much so. The south part of Fulton County has suffered while everybody else has moved to the north. Now, they've tried to annex it, or annex the south, North Fulton has, but that's come under a lot of scrutiny because the tax base is in northern Fulton County. But a lot of people, in order to get out of Fulton, because they don't want to have to deal with a larger percentage of the tax burden they feel, have moved to Forsyth, Cherokee, and all those areas. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any more?
Any more questions?
Yes.
You kind of touched on it a second ago, but what is the watering restrictions in the Atlanta area? Are they different in different counties?
Yes, they're different in different counties. They are, for instance, in Cobb, I know that the watering ban was, they had a total watering ban, pretty much. And the watering ban, the first was a fine of $1,000, $500. Second time was a fine of $1,000. And the third time was a fine of I do believe $2,000 and 10 days in jail. That's what it was. And so it was pretty harsh, but you know, it is what it is. Interesting question. Right. Is the Tennessee River off the table? Well, what's happened, and I was talking to Dr. Osmeyer about this yesterday, we've had a lot of rain in Georgia, so the problem's kind of seeping away. You know, I mean, it's not as hot a topic as it is. From what I've read, the Tennessee River, therefore, is getting the benefit of that. Now, Chattanooga and Atlanta have been in negotiations for land trades on the Tennessee, and that was occurring back when it was a hot topic back in the fall of last year. And so as we gain more water and the levels start to rise, the talk kind of dies down, and it trickles on up to Chattanooga too. So yes, there have been talks, and from my readings lately, they've simmered a lot. But I guarantee you, when they get in a drought again, it will come up again. You know, I can guarantee you that. Anybody else? Yes? Oh, no? Yes, no? All right. All right, thank you. Appreciate it.